This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for joining us here on this Thirsty Thursday. The Cowboys make another trade. Let's discuss that. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. The current break room fridge stocked with some Stella Artois N.A.s that are fantastic. Look forward to cracking those with you tomorrow night. What you drinking, what you thinking. Although we're going to be at the ballpark, so might have to smuggle some of those in. There's Broadus in his LSU hoodie, looking sharp over there. The purple and gold as always.
Thank you, Dawson.
James Tritely's in for Lucius Alexander today. Send LA some love on social media. Let him know he's missed.
He might not come back, man.
Yeah.
If you follow his videos and his pictures and stuff.
Those large margaritas,
he has
man.
Had a hell of a run.
Good for him. He deserves it.
He absolutely does, man. That's great that he was... But yeah, we need to figure out where those large margaritas are located and do a show or two from there.
That would be awesome.
Might not make it back.
I'm up for it. Now, Wolchuk needed a break. You could tell yesterday he was circling the drain hard as some sort of illness was overtaking him. Yeah. And he was soldiering through. But we were not surprised today when we got the text that he's going to be missing today's show. So send him some love on social as well. Let him know he's missed. But the chief is in the house.
Yes, yes. And it is no surprise that shortly after the baby daycare situation starts to unfold.
Yeah.
She's bringing crap home now.
Yeah.
Just welcome to that world.
All those guys in her life, right? Is she the only gal at this daycare center?
Is that what he said? I think it might have been the case. Yeah.
I think it's all gentlemen.
Well, yeah. And, you know, they're just snot-faced kids running around sneezing, coughing, licking, putting toys in their mouth. What is the affinity with everything feels like it should start? Like, to test out something new, I got to taste it first.
Yeah.
And then from there, I can begin to play with it with my hands or whatever.
Wow.
So that's just...
It's an awkward stage.
That is an awkward stage. But that's what happened, like, the first year, I would say, of my kids going to school consistently, even if it was just, like, once or twice a week, I felt like I was constantly getting something.
Yeah.
So he's in the thick of it now.
He is, man. I think the immune system builds up here over the next couple of months. But in that initial shock, it's going to be overwhelming, and we'll wish him nothing but the best. Okay, 214, Gavin, going to the ballpark. We'll still only read box score stats to come up with an opinion. Leiter is coming around and looks way better than last season. You're right, he does. He looks way better than last season when he gave up a run per inning. You know, it was unsettling at times last year. There were occasional signs of life, I'm glad he's a new man. Has, you know, I think he's maybe had perhaps the best off season considering how big of a jump he's made from that disappointment of last year.
Did you think
Brian.
This was all going to come back? Did you think this was? I mean,
I thought you had put this one to bed.
Did you kind of feel like that? Like, okay, I've kind of somewhat dodged this, and now you got people that.
Yes. Well, the diehard Rangers on Twitter. They're
I got
serious.
It this morning, and Dawson is flipping like he's making French toast, and he's like going after people at the same time. going.
I do.
I go. Damn, Dawson is up early going after these folks, but these folks are going after you too. And I'm like, and then Dawson throws it. Throws a stray at Jarrett to kind of drag him into the thing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, oh, I know you do.
And all these people are coming in new and don't realize
don't realize what happened.
I've been playing this game for months now, and it's like an itch on the back of my head, and every day I got to scratch it at least a couple of times. So I think I kind of stopped talking about it because I could tell how annoying it was for you guys.
Yeah,
but I freaking love it. So and you know the best part is Jack Leiter's freaking amazing.
He is. Yeah, that's the best part.
You know, nice so. Kid. I'm like, yeah, it's great. Let's laugh about the audio of last year when, you know, it looked like at times his journey to the big leagues might not ever come to fruition. But early on in this year, it looks like he's only a blister could stop him.
You kind of feel like, or going into it, that the guy that you were not going to have to worry about so much might be Rocker.
Yeah.
Rocker was going to be the guy that,
he's just
the mental toughness and all that. And I even asked Jack that question about all the things he went through, make him more mentally tough. And he was kind of, well, you know, yeah, some of it. But yeah, I was thinking that Rocker was going to be the one that's having like the early season success. And it was Leiter that might be scuffling around a little bit. But
man, it's actually
been opposite that. And in spring training, in spring training, Leiter was. Did a really
it's been good from day one.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the people on Twitter is one of the guys that's perpetuating the old clip. His name on Twitter is Wyatt Bankford.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that part of it. Yeah. You're right, man. Salute to you, Bankford.
Yeah, that's right.
I know nothing about this game. And I'm just happy that Jack Leiter has been so successful. But I think it's in what you're just talking about right there. It's an incredible story to tell your minor leaguers about, you know, how important hard work is. Because for Kamar Rocker, he had a tremendous September. He's like, sweet, got it. Yeah. Did not have the offseason that Jack Leiter did. Jack Leiter struggled, so he attacked those 4 months like, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting to make it happen. And now Kamar Rocker is the guy who's kind of behind the eight ball and having to go back to the lab and put in all the work. But I'm confident he'll get there. But one of the toughest things about being a young athlete is figuring out your process that's going to allow you to be consistent. And Kamar Rocker just figured out what not to do. Gavin, are you even watching the games? What's wrong with the bullpen? Ask the 214.
What about this one from Patrick McGrath? LOL, Gavin wouldn't last a minute in Boston. What a P-word.
You're right, I wouldn't, man. Boston's way too tough of a town for me, although I think Texas is pretty badass. I think if you can cut it in Texas, you can cut it anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think you've been scratching and clawing to get to Beantown.
No, sir. I would reject that a travel schedule. Cowboys back in the business of trying to find their next quarterback for as little as possible. I think that's what this is about. Yes, they are securing a backup quarterback, but I think up there they got to be thinking this kid might have something, and they send the Patriots a 5 for Joe Milton and a 7. He was picked in the 6th round last year, got in week 18. He passed it. He ran with it. He's tall. He's got a big arm. Those are the kind of traits I want to gamble on.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I this morning I had a chance. I did want to watch the Buffalo game. I need to go back and look at some of the preseason work that he did. But man, there's some things to like about him as far as I like the way he steps into his throws. You know, when you see a guy, he's takes that shotgun snap, and then as he's kind of setting himself to where he needs to get, where he has to move a little, he'll set his feet, and that ball. When he throws it, you could tell it's like the stride and everything is working together. I think that's how he gets a lot of power on that ball, is his ability. It's almost like the baseball pitcher using the momentum with the kick and then the pitch. His is like he's able to kind of stride out there, and as he's striding, it's bringing his shoulder and his arm through, and he's, you know,
like
he's
a boxer.
Tall, he's a tall guy. Yeah, the power that you would have. But he threw some passes of some outs where right hash, left sideline, deep in the pocket, had to make a throw. I mentioned the throw that he made where the receiver, he broke the pocket. He was in the middle, and he broke to his right. And as he's going to his right, you're thinking, well, he's just going to try and throw it out of bounds and get what he can or just run out of bounds. No, man, he turned around and just horsed that thing right back into the middle of the field. And that's why it was went. Oh no, bro, don't. You know, that usually what happens, you make that middle of the field throw, going to your right or your left, it turns into I didn't see the safety. I didn't see the linebacker.
And he does get a lot of balls knocked down.
And he, but that thing.
He's got a cannon, though.
Oh, no. That's the thing about it is he is absolutely
got a cannon. If you blink, you'll miss it, yeah, right? He absolutely. Probably thinks he can throw it through an entire mosh pit.
He is the guy that the old saying is he can throw it through a car wash and it not get wet.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Remember when Uncle Rico said I could throw that pigskin over the mountains?
Yeah.
Joe Milton says that, and it's actually true.
Yeah.
But I think that's his only, sweet. Like, he's really just a fastball guy at this point, right? Like, that's the thing that you have to work on.
The crossing stuff and the stuff to tight ends where he had to move and maybe they, but you could see his eyes go from outside to inside, and it was like, okay, I've got to hit this guy, but the ball's not in front. Ball is off. You know, a little. So that may be something what you're talking about with the touch, Eric, that, you know, he's having to take something off of it and he hadn't quite got the feel of like, okay, throw it hard, but throw it in front.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of times where you see the receivers running and stopping and then they're kind of reaching back instead of taking them up the field where they could make a play.
Does this eliminate drafting a quarterback?
I think so. Because to me, if you were going to use a pick in the fifth round, you're looking for, like I said, you're looking at Riley Leonard and guys like that, that, you know, that you probably are just, those guys are just, to me, you're taking really just big chances on. This one, at least you have some NFL tape, preseason tape, a regular season game, and you have your college stuff, which we know is really, really big for them.
Well, the Mavs were rolling, and things were going quite well. All of a sudden, Atlanta goes on a run. Mavs offense disappeared. They're down three in the closing minutes. Klay nails a three, and then Anthony Davis getting the job done. Big game, plus five blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And had defense on Trae Young as well in the final possession. So, you know, the big picture topic, I think, is where the hell's this defense? You know, because if you're going to have to win like this, great. Yeah. We know the offense can be very disjointed, and without Kyrie Irving, it's going to be ugly. But, I mean, you got Lively back, Gafford's back, Davis, Caleb Martin. You know, I guess P.J. Washington did not play last night, but you're giving up so many points. Does this take, like, a 3-4 day off stretch where you can practice a couple of times to install it? You know, but if you're not going to be able to play great defense with this, then – shoot.
I've
seen enough.
Davis with the blocks, outstanding. Caleb Martin was all over the place last night. I mean, he had several opportunities, like gets in the way of passing lanes, tipping a ball, you know, coming from behind, knocking the ball out. You know,
it was nice to see.
Just athletic move, get your feet, keep moving, you know, stay in front of guys. And he
see the value there now.
You can absolutely see the value there. He looks like to me like, okay, I know you're probably not going to score any. I mean, he's kind of got a shot that's kind of funny. It's got no arch to it. It's kind of a direct, direct into the basket shot. And it's like, ooh, that looks like it's not very good. But the things that he was able to do on the defensive end of the floor, the problem with this team is they're probably going to be like that. And they could build. They're capable of having a lead in the fourth, and they're very capable of giving it away. And I think it goes to your point about, you know, Dinwiddie had three shots down the stretch, and they had a couple of disjointed possessions where it got Atlanta back into the game. And
the game-winning set, it's like
Harp was like, get the ball to Davis and just let him. And if you're going to win or win it with that or lose it with that. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't about trying to get Klay open or any of that stuff. Yeah, Davis get down.
But these guys should have the ability to get in transition and play such great defense.
They do.
Teams under 110.
They do when they get stops.
I just want to start seeing it.
No, no. You know? And it happened a little last night. They're much better when they get a stop and then they can transition. That's where they were having some success yesterday. It's when they don't get those stops and now they're having to – their offense gets bogged down. That's the problem right there. The team is, I think they're kind of who they are. I was talking to some people in the organization last night. They were really excited about having Lively back, and they feel like we've got to get him more minutes. We've got to get him ready. If we're going to be any good, we've got to get Lively ready That's what they're thinking.
The
about.
Size and, jumps off when it's yeah. when it's Lively and Davis or Gafford and Davis, whatever it is, and they're throwing lobs to each other. It is like you can
yeah the pass
you
inside.
You can see
the,
this
like
could be
Lively
fun.
Throws a lob to Davis and that you know a nice flush there, but they want to get more minutes for Lively, but they to me this team they as much as they want to play defense they really don't, and it's been very very evident with these last few games. Where they've had double-digit leads, and when they go cold, then they have problems getting stops, and then that's ultimately what makes them have to scramble at the end.
Okay, Dallas Stars back in action tonight, hosting Nashville at 7 o'clock. 4 points back of Winnipeg, one game in hand. They are going to meet up April 10th. Mm. Nashville not having a great year.
No.
They're eliminated already. They lost four in a row, so they'll probably continue to play poor hockey tonight. Your chance
you
to...
Hope.
To get the win is there. Yeah,
yeah, but don't all of a sudden think you're just going to kind of slide the puck out there and then Nashville. We hope that they come out and play poorly, but Dallas has got to take care of business tonight.
Okay, Rangers not hitting. Mm-hmm. We talking with Sanj yesterday, he seemed to indicate that maybe if after the next week and a half of yeah. games, Simeon's not hitting well, you would consider moving him out of the leadoff spot. What else could they do? I'm thinking right now if I'm CY, I'm creating a short list of positions where maybe we could create more offense at if you know things don't get better. I don't know if you can't trust the personnel. You can't shift it around. You got to look at second base, you know, and you got to look at center field in either one of those, Tavares or Simeon. You know, obviously Josh Young coming back at third base, you plan on that being better.
Man, Dawson, I mean I know that Simeon's taking a lot of heat here and he probably understands that and the team understands that, but just look throughout that lineup. There's a lot of guys that aren't hitting, but Simeon, it's been something that's kind of been a little bit of a carryover for him. So
he's at an age now.
And that's the thing. And I think that to me, when you watch, it's just not that one guy. And I'm not saying you don't know what the hell you're talking. I'm just saying that to me.
Other than Langford and Garcia.
I'm looking down the lineup I can't find any hitting right now. Maybe that's the early sample size, knee jerk, whatever. But with Simeon, and I see why we're talking about him, because there's some carryover there.
You know, it's just a matter of what positions can you address logically with what your roster looks like, what makes sense that you need to address. Can Langford play center field? Can you look at left fielders that are out there? You know, what's going to be out there in the trade market? What are the positions on your team that you want to look at? You know, how many months would you give Jake Berger of not punishing the baseball, not hitting bombs, not driving in runs for you where you're like, well, you know what? He's not making a lot. We took a flyer on him, but we want to look at first baseman in the trade market here that might be able to come in and make a consistent big time impact. We need 300 hitters that can hit 30 home runs, you know, to boil it down. And, you know, I feel like shortstop is locked. Catcher, you have two good ones.
That's,
you know,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to find better than that.
Yeah.
And then third base, Josh Young, obviously a couple of the outfield spots as well with Garcia and Langford are locked in.
I think
that's it.
I think the hardest thing right now is, you know, hopefully that Simeon and others find a way to hit. I think the biggest disappointment for me is Josh Young. And I it seems like every year that I put my hope and my faith in that. I know he's a young guy, but, you know, I was thinking, oh, maybe he'll have that year where he's completely healthy, you know, he's not going to miss games. And, well, here we are. We're at that same spot. I think that's the one thing that right now is just, yeah, the hitting's been bad, but just the availability of or lack of availability for Josh Young has been a big, big issue for me.
Yeah, it's tough. You hope he gets back soon and stays back for the rest of the season. We need that for our faith in him. Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Is this Cowboy Ring of Honor worthy? We'll talk about that next year in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 7 minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. What do we have here on the text? 302, it's only been six games and 25 at-bats. Geesh. Says the 302 here about the Rangers. I mean, Semien goes back to last year.
He does.
And even before that, the postseason run of the World Series championship, for all of its glory, it was disappointing for Semien. So, you know, I think it's an extended stretch for him. We know who Tavares is. Can a baseball team hoping to win a World Series rely on a guy like Tavares? Sure, obviously it's been proven it worked, but if a few years later you are a team struggling to find offense and Tavares is your center fielder and you're thinking, what are the most likely positions where we could find an improvement and we're not locked into this guy for the future because of his contract or other considerations? I think, you know, unfortunately, second base, center fielder are you know, two of the main ones right now that jump out. And if Josh Jung gets hurt again, you're going to have to be looking at third base. And obviously, you know, first base is nice. We can believe in Jake Berger. Nice value for that kind of production for under $1 million. War less than Nathaniel Lowe last year. So you actually downgraded a little bit, hoping for the potential that a Jake Berger breaks out, gives you more production for a lot less money. But you didn't really upgrade there. So I think it's fair early in the season. I'm kind of a knee-jerk sports fan. Is this knee-jerky? Yes. I'm not trying to be a jerk per se, but I'm a huge fan of Jake Berger. The storyline, the interview we had with him, love it.
Awesome.
But, you know, this team's built to win a championship, and we got to be, you know, objectively honest about their shortcomings.
Yeah, and I do think CY is a guy that has self-awareness about his own team. Yes. And as much as Ray Davis will allow, he will do whatever it takes, CY will, to get the necessary pieces in there.
Yeah.
So I think he, I mean, other than the Semien stuff, but that's a guy who has earned it over the course of his career and since being with the Rangers to get every opportunity before pulling the plug on where he is in the lineup.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, they're moving stuff around all the time. You're not getting it done. You're up, you're down, you're over, you're moving. Like, I think they're pretty proactive about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying you want to be moving on from all these guys. I think I got Berger and Semien right now on my watch list. Tavares, I know who he is. I'm ready to get a better center fielder, you know. But anybody else on this team, I'm just kind of like going through the process right now. And early in the season, those guys are on my might need to replace them list. Okay, should the Cowboys consider Tank for Ring of Honor? That is a topic out there. Wanted to get your thoughts on it, Brontus. What do you think? Should we see him up there?
Nope.
And why is that?
Me personally, I've please go back. And I mean this is no disrespect to Tank. I just have a personal feeling, not of just with Tank. I grew up watching Harvey Martin play, you know, and Harvey Martin is pre-1989 when the Cowboys were sold to the Jones family. And Harvey Martin, if you look at sacks, you look at what he meant to the Dallas Cowboys, he's played on a championship team.
He's a depoy.
I mean, he was
co-Super Bowl MVP, yeah, 114 career sacks.
To me, Charles Haley. Charles Haley is in the Ring of Honor. Charles Haley, to me, is, yes, he played for the Dallas Cowboys, but he also was drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, and it was a big part of what the 49ers were doing. I just wish that, and I have nothing against Charles Haley going in, I have problems with him going in ahead of Harvey Martin from that era. And
if Harvey was in, would you put Tank in?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think so. I don't think he's a Ring of Honor player. I just don't, me personally. The one thing that I always really enjoyed about traveling around the league and like going to other stadiums was like you would have an opportunity to see other teams' Ring of Honors, and they were huge. I remember Frank Trpucka, Kelly Trpucka, the old basketball player's dad is in the Denver Bronco one, and I think he might be in the Buffalo Bill one for the AFL stuff and things like that. And I'm kind of thinking, great, they've got, you know, 100 names here. There's something about what the Dallas Cowboys do. You know, it's not the Ring of Very Good. It's, you know, the Ring of Honor, the Ring of Greatness and stuff. I don't think Tank was a great player. I think he was a very good player, but not one that deserves to be over or in the same class with a Harvey Martin or even with Charles Haley.
Yeah, it's only got 22 players.
Yeah.
It's a pretty exclusive group.
Very exclusive, yeah. And not even all players. I mean, you've got administrators. You've got Tex Schramm is in there, not a player. Tom Landry, not a player. Jimmy Johnson, not a player. Gil Brandt, not a player. So now you've really whittled it down to a certain number of just players.
You don't even
have
one team's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't think so. I think Tank is a guy that, you know, bring him back and let him wave to the crowd and, you know, be that guy, you know, and when they show him on the Jumbotron, give him a big clap. But no, I, as far as those guys that are currently in that, not the same group.
I mean, ultimately, you don't have the sacks, the personal production to set yourself aside in spite of, you know, lack of team success. Yeah. I think if you'd won a couple of Super Bowls and you're DeMarcus Lawrence, maybe the Ring of Honor could have been there. I think in other circumstances, he's talented enough. He's a good enough player.
Yeah.
You know, he's hurt, though, a lot, and then he didn't have team success.
And if you could have just had a signature moment or two in a big game, all of a sudden, you know, we're never forgetting about you. But he is just a solid, really good player. But yeah. I agree with Broadus.
We have 10 remaining free agents who could start for your Cowboys. Mm. There's still 10 out there. We're going to take a look at them coming up at 2:40, 2:45 or so. Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where James Tritely, filling in for Lucius Alexander, has your G-Bag of the Day.
Oh, boy.
Pressure, James?
A little bit. Well,
right.
Not to be tritely.
You know, the first time I got to crosstalk with y'all when CA and I did a show, it was Gavin who ended up saying not to be trite. That was right. The show that you came up with, the idea.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I thought it was. Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier.
Dawson's been in his bag for years now.
Well, I mean, that's evident. We know that.
Proof's in the pudding.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Excellent.
Thank really you, good, man. Yeah, better than Lolchuk, apparently.
Yeah, no kidding. That was kind of a shock. A last-minute scratch. We hate to see that.
Yeah.
How
you doing today?
I know he's doing.
I'm great. Can't complain. A little gloomy outside today.
Yeah, the storm's coming.
Chilly, man.
I know.
Hopefully you don't have to dodge tornadoes on the way home today.
Well, you know.
But you better pull them podcasts.
Yeah.
Get your damn job done before you venture out into the tornadic activity.
That's all that matters. Hey, it's G-Bag of the Day, 2:30, Monday through Friday. What are we at? 3-time champion right now for Mr. Bobby Belt.
Yep. Yes.
With what seems like it's going to be the diss track of the year, and we're only in April.
Painting on the cheap, yo. Free those spending cash figures. We need zero. Hands down, I'll take Tommy Sledger, even Rego. Failing all the way through Cross. Hey, Joey, where did he go? What's up with this old phony ass loser and his drama? The industry can hate me. F him, go see my mama. How many flaws you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna slash all his money. I'm gay plocking. Play the clip and hide the eye roll if Sean watching. Sometimes you gotta stop down and show bitter. Certified board op man, take producer out your damn LinkedIn. Walk him out, bro, fine, you know that he been phoning in. Throw him then, just like fish, Richie Grigo and them. Safe eight, I hear you kinda dumb. Don't even know how to make a woman to any chick that talks to him and they in love. Just know that you'll only fit in the tub. Tim tells me Choppy just can't handle when Sean's not around. And that's why Chi-Chi hanging with us at the firehouse. And Choppy never showers. What's that all about? Toxic masculinity. Toxic from the waist down. Wah, 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 wah. Bob, f*** them up. Wah, 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 wah. They just kind of sus. Why y'all looking so sad?
There he is, Bobby Belt, 3-time champ, getting it done with a diss track about Peyton Russell, his own producer.
Well, Choppy in there, too. Yeah. It looks like everybody was catching strays in that one.
And Choppy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Poor old Bordav Rigo got thrown into the mix there at one point.
It's like every time we listen to the song, someone else catches a stray. That's where we've gotten to this
point. Boys is
wasn't
sus,
he
though.
Saying that he would rather have Rigo than Peyton?
Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah.
But it was like we'd go that far.
Okay. You know, oh, I see. You know, all right. It's kind of a backhanded compliment.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit. Let's see what we got today. John Kruk and Tom McCarthy. Okay. Now, this is from the TV side, and they're seeing these fans and they're celebrating the Phillies going out and scoring, and just in the most celebratory way, maybe we've been here, maybe we haven't. Let's take a listen in.
Hey. Yes, celebration.
Well, if these microphones didn't get in the way, I'd have done that to you.
A little kissing on camera between the fans.
And then it was just Pete that wasn't drunk then, right?
Wow. Very interesting kiss cam moment there. Is that that's the Phillies game, you say?
That was a Phillies game. Some fans just celebrating a kiss, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know. And then Kruk just had to go out there and say, well, if these microphones weren't in the way, Might have done the same to you there, Tom.
He is a shock jock.
It's one of the better TV broadcasts that we have in MLB right now. Keith Hernandez
never gets
that, that man. That oh, Mets yeah. one.
He got hot mic'd a little bit.
He does get a lot of hot mic'd every once in a while.
Yeah, we'll have to hear that. How about Mike Francesa? I don't know if you guys have been following. You guys, American Idol people at all?
Used to be year one, Kelly Clarkson year.
That's about it.
Ruben Studdard year.
Now it just keeps going.
That's pretty much all I got for you.
That thing's been around for 20 some odd years, hasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of incarnations of that.
I don't think I've ever watched an episode.
No? Mm-mm. Well, you're not missing much, I'll say that.
Oh.
I was just never
into it. No, I haven't watched it.
Year one, year two.
That's about it.
Maybe year three.
Well,
that was it.
One of the latest talents on there sang the Waiting All Day for Sunday Night in front of Carrie Underwood. What a rendition she did. But this was a clip that circulated about that Waiting All Day for Sunday Night from Mike Francesa. Not a big fan.
After, you know, this idea we waited all day. Well, it's the stupidest song that ever was created. No one waits all day. They watch football all day. Wait, I waited all day for Sunday night. No one waited 1 minute for Sunday night to watch football all darn day. The dumbest, whoever thought of that, I always say it's the most dumb, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard in the lyrics. I waited all day for Sunday night. No one ever waited 1 minute for Sunday night. They watch football all day on Sunday. Getting ready for Sunday night. That's the dumbest song ever created.
That's a great rant.
I mean, do you guys feel the same way? Should we not be waiting all day for Sunday?
I never really looked at it that way, but I think he makes an astute observation about what I'm doing on Sundays. Yeah. I mean, it is. I will say there is a comfort knowing, like middle of the afternoon when you're just thinking about the rest of your day, knowing that there's a hell of a Sunday night football matchup. There's something exciting about that. But I'm not waiting around.
No, you're like feasting all day for Sunday.
I'm snorting Scott Hansen in the red zone commercial
no,
free
you're
for
like,
7 hours.
Like for a home game, you are literally like eating all day towards Sunday.
Oh, Cowboys?
Night. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Cowboys game.
You're not waiting. You're just like just smashing down food.
That's right.
I think it's an okay rant from Mike Francesa, who does generic rants. It is pretty funny, though. But I think it does play. And here's why, Tritely, Chief, brought us. For a lot of people tuning into that game, that's their team, right?
Yeah.
So they probably have been just barely watching other teams play all day. Like, crap, I wish my team was playing. I got to wait for the Sunday night game.
McMillan fans.
So for them, you know. Yeah. The Jags fan.
Yeah.
They have been waiting all day.
God help us if they're putting the Jags on Sunday night.
I was about
football.
To say, I was like, that's a struggle for everybody. But I like
that's a fair rebuttal, though. It's
I like
a fair
the
rebuttal.
Protagonist role you play there, Dawson, in trying to be for the song there.
Thinking about it from the Jags fans.
Black and Gold B, one of our resident Saints fans, saying like, nah, if the Saints are playing on Sunday night, then I'm waiting all day for that.
There you go.
And the 972 says, remember, that was written for Monday night. So if you went to work all day, you had football yesterday, you have been waiting all day for Monday night.
Wow, they're just copy and pasting their Sunday to Monday, just acting as if that they're equally the same.
Well, didn't ESPN take it from Monday to Sunday or one way or the other? It was on Monday with that tune, and then that broadcast took Sunday night because
ABC,
it was the better team.
ABC
it was the better
used
game.
To have Monday night football, and then ESPN took it over.
So when they went to Sunday nights, they had the song. Did they want to come up with a new song or just change it from Monday to Sunday?
Gotcha.
They went the laziest route possible.
What was
Thank
the
you,
old Hank Williams Jr., Dawson? What was that one?
That was Monday Night Football.
That was Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah, that went.
A Monday Night Football.
That's
party.
A classic. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
As a kid, dude, that was like, I was waiting around for that.
That was, amazing. And he didn't have that kind of stuff on demand.
No.
So you got that once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was time to rock. Is it our three-time champ, Bobby Belt, disrespecting Peyton Russell, Rigo, Choppy, among others, kiss cam moment at the Phillies game with John Kruk, Mike Francesa on waiting all day for Sunday night? I'm voting with the champ, Chief.
Likewise.
Charlie?
Be the oddball here and say Francesa.
Right.
Bobby.
By a score of 3-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champ. Tune in tomorrow as he looks for 5. We'll be live at the Globe tomorrow, fired up to go see these Texas Rangers. The only thing that would make it better is if my guy, Jack Leiter, was towing the rubber. you know.
I thought you were going to say if you get one of those loaded baked potatoes from Hurtado.
Oh, that's happening. Yeah, that's happening for sure. We have 10 remaining free agents in the NFL who are still out there. They could start for your Cowboys, and that list is coming up next year in the Nation. Well, thank you very much, Trite Lee. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Lucius still living it up on vacation. He'll be back next week. Rangers are off tonight. They're going to host the Rays tomorrow night, 7 o'clock first pitch, 6:30 pregame. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to, absolutely, to Jack Leiter's next start. You know, this is one of the exciting things about this season so far. You know, after that start he had last year, September 20th, 5 innings pitched. He gave up 6 earned runs, walked 2 guys, gave up 6 hits. You know, it pushed his ERA close to 10. I thought, you know, it was a day that was ominous for the, you know, medium-term future into this year. But whatever he did in the offseason to come back this year and, you know, put in the 10 innings of work that he's had so far, it's, you know, absolutely a big candidate here for breakout player of the year, I think, in the big leagues.
No, he's done a nice job. And, you know, we've asked this question, but I don't know if we've got a complete answer for it, or maybe you guys have an answer for it. Has following Nathan Eovaldi in the rotation been one of those things where Nathan Eovaldi has done such a good job against the hitters that Jack Leiter has benefited from it a little bit, learning, but the way that Eovaldi has kind of been able to control bats, kind of give him a blueprint of maybe how to attack. I know he doesn't have probably the talent of Nathan Eovaldi, but, or, you know, or the pitch command or things like that, but has he, just by not being the fifth starter, but being the second starter, has that benefited? He has not wilted at all in that role.
You know? Evan Grant wrote about that actually yesterday in the morning news.
Okay, I'm sorry, cool. I didn't see that. Yeah,
no, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I think it cannot hurt at all to have a guy like Eovaldi pitching for you and helping you out, getting a scouting report together. And that's one of the things that young pitchers that are on Evaldi's teams talk about, how great he is as a teammate.
Yeah, maybe it's the situation though where Eovaldi though goes out there and he ties up hitters. You know,
puts him in a bad way.
Puts him in a bad way, and then all of a sudden, there's maybe like, oh, geez, okay, I'm not swinging it very well right now. I mean, Eovaldi doesn't give you a chance to really tee off on him, so all of a sudden, you got hitters that might not have confidence. You know, they're like, after a wow, Eovaldi just did something very rare. He went, you know, 9 innings and gave us very little. You know, he had a perfect game going through 5. Does he kill some of the confidence, and then the next day, you come to the ballpark, and then Jack Leiter's kind of like, he's got the 98-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got the slider working. And now you got hitters that are even struggling even more. I think
confidence matters big time, but I don't want to take any credit from our guy Jack Leiter, Brian.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, though.
This is about the man in the mirror. Yeah, it's Jack Leiter.
I mean, he went to the weight room, added 2 miles of velocity.
Yeah.
Obviously, his location's better. He doesn't have to throw it right over the middle of the plate to throw a strike anymore.
And he was already a pretty impressive, just like physically, you could tell it's a guy that works out, takes care of himself. Yeah. But this year in the clubhouse, it was noticeable how much just leaner he looked.
Yeah.
And I think he's clearly stronger.
Well, with these, you know, and listening to the broadcast, they were talking about, and Jared was even talking about this a little bit too, with him, his ability now to elevate pitches. You know, you've got the 97, 98-mile-an-hour fastball, but you're able to elevate that, and the batters aren't touching that. And then you're able to throw your slider where it's in and up around the knees or the shoe tops, and you got guys swinging at that. You know, we've got a lot. What did he have yesterday? Like 11?
Swings and misses.
Swings and misses.
Yeah, 6 punch outs.
Yeah, so that's a good thing right there.
Let me get this in from Katie Drummond because I teased it. We go to Cowboys Wire, 10 remaining free agents who could start for your Cowboys.
All right.
Amari Cooper is one of them. I put that in the post-draft, maybe post-OTA plan, if we just hate what our wide receivers are looking like after that. I think you put Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, and maybe Deontay Johnson. All 4 of them are on this list. I think they all go in that category. Brian, what do you think?
The one that I would be really, really interested in is Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I would. And nothing against Amari Cooper. But, yeah, if you told me that I had a chance to post-draft and, you know, we'll see if Dallas, in fact, does draft one. I think they're trying to kind of okey-doke us and make us think like they're really, really happy with their wide receiver room. But in reality, they're thinking, like, we need to get some help here with CD and get some help for Dak.
Keenan Allen, not young, 33 years old, but had 70 catches for Chicago last year with a bad offensive line and a rookie quarterback.
Throws it all over the place, yeah.
That's great production right there. The Deontay Johnson situation is just crazy that he's been on four teams in 18 months. He must just be a total knob.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was going to be a nice move in the middle of the year for the Ravens. Add an extra weapon to the offense. That thing fizzled out. It was a total disaster. That'd be a total stay away for me.
Mike Hilton seems like a guy that you'd still want there. He's a slot corner. He blitzes. He had 12 tackles for loss last year. Decent ball skills.
Yeah, that's Chief, a guy. Really,
but is he a banged up guy?
No question. Yes. Yeah, I think that's
why people are scared of him, right?
Yes.
I need to ask about him on Gang of Seven.
But that's a thing. That's a guy for sure. After the draft, the cornerback situation is in my mind terrible right now for the Cowboys. If you don't get one in the draft, that's a no-brainer post-draft signing.
They made the trade today for Joe Milton. Talking this week, they said they're not done in free agency. I don't know if this trade qualifies as that, but if they're still looking, it's got to be one of these guys. The guard Brandon Scherff is out there, top five pick in 2015. Last year, he was 14th best among guards in pass block win rate. Could be too expensive. Plus, they already brought in the veteran guard Jones.
Yeah.
But I'd love it if they brought in another offensive lineman here. The tackle with the Browns, Jedrick Wills. Would you have him compete with Guyton at left tackle?
Man, what happened to him? I mean, I'm just saying that out loud because I don't know what happened to him, you know?
Yeah.
He was a guy that
he's been injured guy too.
Yeah, but man, he completely has fallen off the cliff, you know? Another guy I probably need to ask about there with Wills.
Yeah, talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, has a lot to like and, you know, probably better than Guyton at this point, although maybe just putting Guyton out there and seeing if he can get it figured out is the best plan here for him in year two. The safety, Justin Simmons, is available again, 32 career picks. He was just in Atlanta, played well. Cowboys going with Hooker and Wilson again. That's just so disappointing.
I think that Todd French represents Simmons, so I don't know if that's one of those ones that you kind of that maybe there's not a great relationship there. So I would say that's probably why Dallas isn't sniffing around on that one. They're bringing in guys on 30 visits and stuff like that fit that safety mode.
And then final guy here on Katie's list is Will Hernandez from the Cardinals. They're another guard.
I think Jones, it says a lot. I think that the fact that his line coach is here as the offensive coordinator in Dallas really couldn't get anything done there, or maybe he said, "Nah, I wouldn't bring him in." So that everybody was kind of connecting the dots, but doesn't sound like that's something that's going to materialize.
469 says, Gavin, your guy Leiter was interviewed after his first start, and he credited Evaldi with helping him with the lineup and what he was seeing. That's Richie from Ennis.
I don't think you were disagreeing with that. I was just asking the question, do you feel like that maybe that Evaldi starts and all of a sudden batters don't have the confidence, and then Jack Leiter with command of pitching, maybe the elevated fastball and then the slider, that maybe that he's kind of taken advantage of some things that, you know, that Evaldi was able to kind of show him. But I think give Evaldi credit for the way he's pitched, but also, Jack going out there and following him up. I think Jack being in the second, that'd be a lot of pressure, I think, for a guy that really coming into the season, there were some questions about. But he's been outstanding following Leiter in these games. Or excuse me, following Evaldi in these games.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something to Evo and knowing the type of guy that he is and how he's trying to give everyone as much wisdom as he possibly can. He's definitely taken Leiter under his wing. And, hey, I just saw this lineup yesterday. Here's a couple of things to think about with these guys. There's no question it's helpful. But all the work that Jack Leiter put in the offseason is what allows him to take whatever it is that Evaldi's giving him and actually be able to go out there and perform and execute it.
Yes, sir. Totally agree. Now, tomorrow is probably going to be Mally. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tomorrow's a Mally day.
Looking for redemption for old Mally.
And then DeGrom on Saturday. Yeah, that was interesting. Okay, NFL news of the daytime, Chief. Where are you taking us?
Another quarterback gets a deal done, plus the Cowboys continue to live rent-free in the minds of filthy fans. Next in the nation.